Radio News Corp reports.
After decades of U.S. meddling in the Western Hemisphere in the course of its Cold War crusade and subsequent war on drugs, Washington has found a new justification for its heavy-handed intervention in the region.
While there is little evidence that the rest of the hemisphere is a breeding ground for anti-American terrorist networks, the U.S. Southern Command, SOUTHCOM, is attempting to promote such a misinterpretation to further its own self-serving agenda and, above all, to guarantee its funding.
Under its current commander, General James Hill, SOUTHCOM has linked drug trafficking and armed leftist Latin American political movements to terrorist threats against U.S. national security.
By extending the definition of terrorism to cover every bellicose act, the White House has rendered the term practically meaningless. It has become the definition du jour to provide Washington with an opportunity to continue its interventionist tactics based on its anti-terrorist crusade.
2 years ago, SOUTHCOM received congressional approval for a mission expansion, previously largely limited to counter-narcotics activities and the promotion of regional cooperation. Its duties are now increasingly being framed within the war on terror.
According to Lisa Haugard, executive director of the Latin American Working Group, SOUTHCOM is clearly using rhetoric to justify its budgets. In November, General Hill will relinquish his command to Lieutenant General Vance J. Craddock, but not before ensuring that SOUTHCOM remains at the forefront of Washington's war on terror.
Through the distortion of the definition of terrorism, the term has become little more than a rhetorical device. By invoking the word terrorism on Capitol Hill, General Hill and his successor are pursuing additional resources for future expanded military initiatives that will likely strengthen Latin American military establishments, which are too often infamous for their long records of violent oppression during the 70s and the 80s.
This maneuvering can be seen as a purely self-interested tactic that will stress the importance of Latin American armed forces throughout the region, a new twist to a familiar mission.
Since September 11, 2001, national defense priorities and budgetary appropriations have concentrated on U.S. concerns in the Middle East. SOUTHCOM's area of responsibility, encompassing all of Central and South America and the Caribbean, has remained of secondary importance as Washington has increasingly defined its international strategy according to the War on Terror.
With Al-Qaeda seen as the gravest threat to U.S. national security, and with Latin America seemingly not a major claimant to such terrorist cells aside from the tri-border area, SOUTHCOM's operations are not a priority for the Pentagon. Perhaps because of this reduced role, Congress in 2002 granted SOUTHCOM approval to expand its mission priorities.
Military aid and training in Latin America, which previously was focused on counter-narcotics operations, have now been retasked as counter-terrorism responsibilities. Preying on the terrorist fears that are currently dominating Washington's defense plan, SOUTHCOM claims that it is now pursuing narco-terrorists to justify its expanded congressionally approved budget.
SOUTHCOM's new shift towards terrorism is more ominous than it first appears. In March, General Hill gave his annual report on SOUTHCOM's activities before the House Armed Services Committee.
According to his testimony, the commander reported that the U.S. must be alert on two growing threats to national security: the traditional danger of narco-terrorists and their ilk, and the emerging menace of radical populism that taps into the deep-seated frustrations of the failure of democratic reforms.
Hill's somewhat skewed assessment of the Latin American situation suggests that ultimately any political opposition, arguably a necessary element in any healthy democracy, can be seen as a threat to American national security.
The Bush administration over the past 2 years has instructed its ambassadors to Bolivia, Nicaragua, and El Salvador to inform local authorities that although Washington respects free elections, it will not necessarily respect electoral results if the wrong people are elected.
Former SOUTHCOM commander General Charles Wilhelm told COHA that while I don't think any Latin American countries pose a specific threat, there is a threat to the U.S. if existing democracies are being undermined.
However, by characterizing the region's struggles for social and economic equality as threats to U.S. security, SOUTHCOM not only could be viewed as erroneously dismissing the importance of such movements, but could also divert attention away from the actual terrorist threats currently directed at the U.S. SOUTHCOM's official priorities have historically ranged from counter-drug operations and engineering and medical exercises to security assistance and military-to-military contact.
By aiming to strengthen militaries in the region, SOUTHCOM under Hill has left behind a controversial legacy in Latin America.
General Hill's recommendations to Congress and Lieutenant General Craddock's statements during his Senate confirmation hearing showed a firm commitment to maintain and broaden our consistent military-to-military contacts as a means of irrevocably institutionalizing the professional nature of those militaries with which we have worked so closely over the past several decades.
Because U.S. law prohibits the direct training of foreign armed forces, the U.S. military's involvement in such matters is often classified as security assistance. However, there are no safeguards in place to ensure that the Pentagon provides Congress with detailed information regarding its participation in current military-to-military interaction. Nor does Congress hold Southcom closely accountable for its commitment to instruct Latin American militaries in the institutionalization of respect for human rights.
It was this existing accountability loophole throughout the 70s and 80s that allowed the Pentagon, through the infamous School of the Americas, as well as bilateral Southcom missions, to both directly and covertly train the commanders of the death squads associated with Argentina's dirty war, and the brutal Contra campaigns that oppressed Nicaragua's civilian population during that country's unforgiving conflict.
The strengthening of Latin American armed forces to more effectively control drug trafficking, gang violence, and so-called political insurgents has recently been used to justify Southcom's new terrorism priorities.
This could create a dangerous precedent for the reemergence of de facto limits on free speech, human rights violations, or even a return to the grim days of military rule that so traumatized the region in recent decades. Although violent crime plagues much of Latin America, defining it as a U.S. national security concern and therefore justifiable as a valid Southcom mission, will only continue the questionable trend of expanding U.S. military aid, cooperation, and training throughout the hemisphere.
While many Latin American militaries are still struggling to overcome the bitter effects and damaged reputations resulting from decades of human rights abuses and institutionalized corruption, it may be dangerous to instruct them in anti-terror tactics that could later be used to suppress their own citizens.
Without a well-established commitment to protecting civil rights and proper limitations on the autonomy of military institutions, any renewed U.S. effort to fund and train rogue militaries could lead to an expansion of their power and an abuse of their authority, which could hinder the democratic process. Moreover, some Latin American nations have not yet reached a level of political maturity, nor have maintained a commitment to democratic principles that are necessary to ensure such abuse will not occur.
According to General Hill, the narco-terrorists in Colombia remain the largest and most well-known threat in our region. However, Hill fails to support this claim that narco-terrorists pose such a direct security threat to the U.S. In fact, the term narco-terrorist, while full of threatening implications, is rarely clearly defined by the U.S. government and its military agencies.
At his confirmation hearing, Lieutenant General Craddock did attempt to define the highly dubious concept. The terms insurgents or guerrillas are less applicable today than in the past. I believe the term narco-terrorists is more appropriate, given the fact that the center of gravity for these groups is the incredible financial support they get from illicit drug trafficking.
The lack of clarity in Craddock's explanation inadvertently reveals how Southcom arbitrarily reclassified the country's leftist armed political opposition, denominated as guerrillas during the Cold War and drug traffickers in the 1990s, as a blanket terrorist threat.
In an attempt to link the situation in Colombia to Washington's global mission, Craddock explained, supporting the government of Colombia's efforts to defeat illicit narco trafficking also directly supports a global war on terror.
This assertion is a convenient attempt to validate this new illusion without any supporting evidence. The government's arbitrary use of inflammatory language and its efforts to rationalize Washington's allocation of $1.5 billion for Plan Colombia have failed to overcome its disappointing achievements in the war on terror, as Colombia had played no part in the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
For the past 4 years, the U.S. government has funded Plan Colombia as a part of a patently ineffective war on drugs. Even the head of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, John Walters, upon returning from a recent South American visit, reported that Washington's anti-drug strategy has failed.
Despite Southcom's dubious reports of its strategy's success, Plan Colombia's failures are numerous. Colombia's supply and the U.S.'s demand for drugs remain essentially unchanged.
While U.S. armed forces are already overextended, Southcom is now seeking to further involve U.S. military personnel in Colombia's protracted civil war by requesting an increase from 400 to 800 military officers and from 400 to 600 private contractors allowed to be present in the country.
Critics contend that the now militarized Plan Colombia has failed to effectively address the country's armed forces' proclivity for human rights violations.
Additionally, in its own annual human rights report, the State Department has maintained that the U.S.-trained Colombian military continues to associate with illegal right-wing paramilitary groups, Colombia's prime human rights violators. This subject is continually under-addressed in Southcom's public statements.
Following in the footsteps of the U.S. Patriot Act, the Colombian Congress has passed anti-terror legislation that allows the military to arbitrarily conduct searches and tap the telephones of citizens without a warrant. U.S. support, along with high funding for Colombia, has contributed to a flawed domestic policy in the South American country.
The latest attempts to recast the nation's perpetual unrest as a terrorism problem that threatens U.S. national security not only represents little regard for the facts and a twisting of reality, but is simply the latest stage in the repeating of a foreign policy project that has never worked.
Southcom's insistence that it is engaged in responsible security practices and upholds human rights values awaits final judgment, especially considering its jurisdiction over the terrorist detention center in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Since its creation as a prison facility in 2002, Camp X-Ray has faced constant criticism from groups such as Amnesty International or AI, which claim that U.S. officials have sanctioned illegal practices at that facility.
Prisoner testimony and photographs have established that suspected Al-Qaeda detainees have been held without trial or proper legal representation and may have suffered some of the same torture tactics that took place at the now infamous Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq.
AI alleged in its report that despite public commitments to the humane treatment of detainees, it subsequently has been revealed that the U.S. administration's decision not to apply provisions of the Geneva Convention to those being held in Guantanamo may have been motivated by a desire to apply harsher interrogation techniques than it perceived would be allowed under the Geneva Conventions.
Though Southcom officers may be just one link in the chain of command, the detention facility is ultimately located within its region of responsibility.
While Southcom continues to lobby Congress for increased funding, Camp X-Ray remains a glaring black mark that contrasts with Southcom's professed support for legal procedures and human rights practices.
In the tumultuous history of U.S.-Latin American relations, Washington has developed a strategy wherein various political and military means have been used to deal with a range of challenges and security threats posed by its southern neighbors.
As a world leader in the war on communism, the United States carried out regime change in Latin America with singular tenacity.
This included the training of the Nicaraguan Contras, the support of brutal dictatorships in Guatemala, the endorsement of General Augusto Pinochet's repressive regime in Chile, and the backing of the particularly savage Argentina military junta after it came to power in 1976.
In an attempt to adapt its post-9/11 anti-terrorism focus, the U.S. has amalgamated drug trafficking and radical populism into its terrorist fighting tactics. This has been particularly evident in its policy formations regarding Colombia, Bolivia, and Venezuela.
While the previous eras, inspired first by the Cold War and then by the War on Drugs, turned out to be based on a very sketchy rationale, they were more solidly rooted than the current War on Terror. Domestic conflicts throughout Latin America do not arise out of thin air.
The urgent social conditions and volatile political environments that went unacknowledged by the U.S. in previous decades account for the instability that the region is currently experiencing. The causative agents behind the new threat of terrorism are no different.
As the Latin American Working Group argues in its report on terrorism, while law enforcement action against terrorists is essential, the most sustainable way to combat broader support for terrorist activities is to address the conditions that foster it: poverty, lack of social and economic development, and undemocratic and repressive regimes that leave their citizens scant hope of bettering their lives, and hence open space for those offering extreme alternatives.
This analysis was prepared by Eleanor and Lindsay Thomas, Council on Hemispheric Affairs Research Associates, on September 2, 2004.
It has been produced by Radio NISCOR with the collaboration of the Orville H. Schell Jr. Center for International Human Rights at Yale Law School, and edited and post-produced at our studios in Madrid on October 11, 2004.
You've been listening to Radio NISCOR.